reminder, ladies and gentlemen, that you are going to be before you this evening for the first three affirmative speeches that we're going to be presenting. Well, it takes to the defense of the basic idea that Brother Malik has read in your hearing just a few moments ago. I'd like to take just a moment, if I could, to define very hurriedly this the proposition that we're looking at. We're speaking of the Holy Spirit, which, of course, would be the third person of the Godhead. We're talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which, of course, we mean beings to inhabit. We're talking about the idea that it is only through the Word of God, and I think that we're only, if we're going to pass by our disagreements, he thinks that the Holy Spirit comes into the body, the physical body, into the heart. I'm sure that's what he would say. Of the person who is being baptized for the remission of sins, their deity resides either until then or until that particular person would turn and walk away from the Word of God. Of course, our affirmation is that the Bible is language the same as the basic idea that it imparts this knowledge. And by the Bible, I simply mean the book that we refer to normally as the English Bible. And that, of course, would be in the books of Genesis through Malachi, and it would be in the New Testament, the book of Matthew through Revelation. And so, as we look at this, I think that that has been minded enough for us to understand exactly what I'm saying this evening. But as I emphasized last night, that we're not emphasizing the fact or answering the question, does the Holy Spirit dwell in the New Testament Christian? I think we all will agree that this is perfectly taught in the Bible, so we're dealing with the matter of the mode. There are two alternatives of how deity, the spirit of deity, can dwell in the human being. That is either directly or indirectly. There is a direct impact of the Holy Spirit on human spirit, or it is through a medium. As I stated last night, that I am convinced that the only way deity can dwell in the body of a physical Christian and human being is because or as a result of a miracle. And so, for this particular reason, I reject this basic idea. But furthermore, let me explain, if I could, somewhat in detail, yet not take all night. Follow the speech chart number 46, if I could, further on, and notice here the idea that is presented. That by the Word of God, I'm simply conveying the thought that a word is a sign of an idea. It is a sound or a symbol which stands for an idea or concept. It is the idea or concept, I'm sorry, which is put within the mind by means of the sound or symbol. Hence the word, that is, the sound or the symbol, does not actually dwell there at all, but only the idea or the concept. Chart number 42, if you would please. Notice here that quoting from the guide, it is a commentary presented the thought that the Hebrews expressed absolute approval or dominion by the figure of dwelling. And that's the way that I'm using it tonight. That as one allows himself to be led by the Spirit of God, as he allows himself to be guided and directed by the Word of God, that it is in that sense then that the Holy Spirit dwells in the heart of the Christian. And when one has allowed the Word or is allowing the Word of God, leading, guiding, directing, is that which is nominated him. It is the individual in whom the Spirit of God dwells. It is he in whom Christ dwells. And it is he in whom the Father dwells. Let's see the next chart, Brother Ron, chart 105. And very hurriedly, if I could please, just to show here, that in some passage he says that it's the end of the Spirit. Here he says that the Word of Christ will then you retreat. Now, please understand that the rest of this English indeed is synonymous. It is my intention that here Paul comments on what he commands here. One is to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, and the other is to be filled with the Spirit. It is my basic argument that that is exactly how one is filled with the Spirit when I allow the Spirit of God to direct me. Chart number 44, if you would please. Friends, the Bible is very clear that we do not have to have a literal indwelling in order for one to dwell in another. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 13, we find there is John writes to the church at Pergamos that he says, I know where thou dwellest, even where Satan's throne or seat is, where Satan dwelleth. I think we all understand that basic idea. I don't think Brother Pat is going to disagree with that basic idea at all. Now let's see chart number 1. We're going to be dealing now with an Arminian sustaining the thoughts that I have presented in the brief introduction that we have given. The 3 nights prior to this, I have used this particular word because Brother Pat, in his argumentation, in trying to prove the literal personal indwelling of deity literally in this body, that I am affirming that he is guilty of this very thing of an error in chronology. by preaching is going back 2,000 years ago. He is lifting passages out of their first century miraculous complex and bringing every aspect of these particular things to apply, I guess I should say, to give and to me today. Now, tonight, I want to deal, first of all, with something that transpired in the closing minutes that Brother Pat introduced from a question, and by the way, that was new material. He presented a question, first of all, that he had given me last night, and it was relative to the idea that in the context of Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, and the question is the context of Romans 5, 1 through 5, dispensational to a special group, is it universal then or now? And I think, according to what I could gather from the trade, there was probably a third choice, whether I could check other. And I evidently had checked other, and then I wrote dispensational in nature. Now, you that have been here through the way, or any other time of the way, understand exactly what I mean. And he says, then I am arguing that it has no application at all. But friends, I would ask you to consider another aspect of this, because in the same context, Brother Pat made an argument based upon a question that he had asked me Monday night. And the question was the big question. I have to go back and look to the previous question. And he says, what it takes on Luke 11, 9, and verses 12 through 13, 8, applies, doesn't apply to all, just to select you of the Christians or others. I said it is dispensational to a special group. He then asked in the very next question, if you don't mind, please, answer the same question for Titus 3, 5, and 7. Now, what is it then that he said Titus, 3, or 5, 7? Now, as I read that, and of course, knowing the nature of the debate, knowing of his basic view of what verse 6 said in that particular passage, I am assuming that he included verse number 6. I did not know this, and I still don't remember answering the question. There's no doubt in my mind that I did. I'm not denying that, nor am I blaming for the non-Jew. I'm just simply saying that I misread the question in the swift of an hour's way. Friends, my basic idea concerning what is told in Titus chapter 3, that all of the blessings, not by the works of our righteousness which we have done, but by his own mercy he has saved us. Now, Brother Pat made us by what he called was a powerful argument, because I answered the question like I did, and because he in the question left out verse 6, he was making the argument that I was saying that all of these things do not apply to the New Testament Christians at all. But I want to show you an example of what was Brother Pat is doing here. Show me your heart on the behind these things. Now, let me ask an expression that is my father's love, and I know that I could have added some words to one of each of these places or clauses to make it look clear, but I do not want to jump off the chart. Now, it is true that Jesus Christ, I did live in the conditions that are to be met. Notice that Jesus is looking at John 1, born in Bethlehem, number 2, before the birth, and he was placed in the manger after his birth. Well, physically, well, they pointed to the standard of the Jews in that way. He was crucified. He was resurrected from the dead. He was ascended or ascended to the Father. He is the Savior of the world. He is our high priest. In other words, as I am wording this, I am saying it is true that Jesus Christ finished every one of these. But when you notice in verse number 5, I have placed there the condition that he was physically, morally, but according to the standard of the Jews at that point in time. Now, friends, nine of those statements that I'm sure every one of us would agree with, which is the question that has been addressed. Number 5 makes that statement false. Now, I want you to think on that. It is true that Jesus Christ, in these two conditions, one of them makes them wrong. It is false. That statement is false. Now, when I say that, does that mean that I do not believe that Jesus was born of a virgin? Does that mean that I do not believe that he is our high priest? Or number 7, that he was resurrected from the dead? Is that what I am saying? When I say that statement, as it is given there, it is indeed false. Last word of the God, which is in Brother Pat, and this particular attempt here, is for trying or try to sway the idea of the people's thinking. That I was doing this. The friends, I think you can see that indeed it was not. Yes, I made a mistake when I read that question. I don't deny that. And I'm not blaming him, and I'm not blaming anybody else. It was simply Well, let's go to some other things that Brother Patrick presented. I want to start number 38, if you would, please. Notice the idea that is listed on Acts chapter 2, and verse 38 and 39, which is going to be a biblical passage in this discussion. Here, after the miraculous events in Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter, after these people were pricked in their heart, he told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Well, as we look at this, then, we notice that he says, for the promise is unto you and your children, and all that are upon all. Our argument has been, Brother Pat, would you prevent for us a passage wherein that Greek phrase is used anywhere in the Bible? Notice I didn't find the English word. And the other night it was in the Acts chapter 23, the children of Israel. Notice right there, but it's not even the same Greek word. Well, when he comes up last time and he presents the map of Matthew chapter 23 and 27. But now I want to notice here, we ask the question. Number two, I have produced a New Testament passage where the exact same Greek phrase that is translated your children in Acts 2:39 may be posterity. He says, no, one is enough. And then he says, Luke 23:28, is a possibility. No, that is not a possibility. It is not the same Greek phrase. And anybody who cannot understand that can see that he is admitting that he has not produced the passage. Friends, they are different. Yes, I have admitted that the original word found in Acts 2:39 can be found in the New Testament according to posterity. I didn't ask for the English word. I didn't ask for the root word. I asked for the exact same phrase in the original language. He hasn't produced it thus far. But put it in that particular statement, if you would, or that particular verse, as many as. I want you to look at folks, as many as. Consider, if you would please, this particular quote. As many as. Now, Brother Pat says that refers to all that are called by the gospel. Now, when did you read that phrase, as many as, there can be no doubt that there is, as it were, a built-in limitation. Even other by itself says, yes, there is a group here, and there is another group. Now, Brother Pat says that it refers to the idea of the gospel call. Friends, if that is the case, the gospel call is indeed limited according to what he teaches. If it is limited, my friend, this is of the idea of Calvinism, of a limited thought. Do I believe that Pat Bonnie believes in Calvinism? No, I do not. I would not charge him with that for one instant, but my friends, this basic idea that indeed in Acts chapter 2, verse 39, that the idea as many of that refers to the gospel call is indeed that which is applicable to everybody. Friends, he told them what to do. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you. Surely they were to be baptized. Surely they received the remission of sin. Now, we have to go back in front of the issue. The call that he promised to give to the Holy Spirit, as we have already stated, that indeed this idea refers to the miraculous. Now, I ask you, concerning this word in alcohol, to produce a word or a passage wherein the Greek word that is translated in alcohol is referring to the gospel call. Now, friends, that word is a verb. Now, that I didn't ask for an adjective. I asked for a verb, and he has not produced it yet. Show us someone that he would please, and consider here this basic idea. It is the thought that Paul said in Acts chapter 2, verse 39, that as many as the Lord our God shall call successfully. Now, he argued that last night. Now, what he is saying is that this idea of as many as the Lord our God shall call, if he ever refers to those who are responding, well, friends, that's understood in the very context of what he is saying. That's not what Peter said. No, this as many as, when it is a limitation. And certainly, he admitted last night in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. He says, as many as of you that were baptized into Jesus Christ, he admitted that in that place there was some sense of a limitation. But here he wants to say that it is the consider very currently or very closely as the time permits this place of God give. Brother Robin, I want to skip on down to chart number 106, if you would please. Chart number 106. Here, dealing with Acts chapter 5 and verse number 32, wherein Brother Pat says, as Peter, standing before the council, is giving his defense on behalf of the apostles, and he said that we are witnesses of these things, and so also is the whole world, but God has taken them out of the name. Last night, Brother Pat was in his behind in his last way. He says, it's not going to be your mission but the miraculous. Well, friend, I've understood, because he said, we are his witnesses, and there is no one else but the Holy Spirit. In John 15, verses 26 and 27, Jesus promised to make a comforter to come. He said, the Holy Spirit will stand unto you and the Father, not as the Spirit of truth, but it is the Spirit of God. That's the Holy Spirit, my friend. He has his provision from the Father. He shall testify of me. And you all know those out there in heaven. What did Peter say up here? We are his apostles, our witnesses. And then he said, it's the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. No one doesn't mention the miraculous. What was he doing? How was the Holy Spirit witnessing, my friends? That's what Brother Brown has to answer. Look here, if you would please, in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. How shall we escape if we declare so great salvation with this verse that we have been spoken by the Lord, and it was confirmed unto us by written by version? Now what? God also bears them witness. How? With signs and wonders and with signs of miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Now, notice these, God's children. Notice here, if you would please. When your first marriage has been spoken by the Lord, it was confirmed. What does that mean? It was substantiated. There was the stamp of divine approval. Now, who went by that? Notice here, friend. There was signs and wonders and there's gifts and other miracles from the Holy Spirit. Here the Holy Ghost is one that is witnessing. Now he's either standing up and talking, or he is witnessing through the apostle, but he says, we are his witnesses, and so also is the Holy Spirit. But friends, in the first century, the miraculous manifestations of the Holy Spirit were overwhelming. Those individuals, yes, they were dying and they had in charge for killing Christ. But those individuals understood the power of Peter's argument here. He says, we are his witnesses, and so also is the Holy Ghost, and God has given to them the obeying ones. The priest at this time in the council was saying, we are God's spokesman. Peter is responding, no, we have to obey God more than man. And then, the idea in verse number 33 is, give us that way to give them. Why? Simply the call, and I do not want to be little this, please understand that. But Brother Cass says it's simply because they killed Jesus. Well, friends, why are they not? It's not the Apostle Peter. It's simply the idea that I have been personally away. It's not seen, it's not heard, it's not manifested in any outward visible way as far as other human beings. Now, dear people, he was affirming. The Spirit is working through us, through the miraculous, and it is the primary of the Sabbath. Who were the obedient ones? The apostles? Or was it those who were the Jews, or the Jews at that time in that particular situation? And so the